The Money Show. The Markets.
Rebound day for the JSE today on the markets. It was a day where we looked at the JSE, especially after that good day we had on Thursday. But Friday was a little bit more disappointing. So a big week in terms of economic data coming out of Europe. We'll be having that interest rate number coming out of Europe, but also in the US inflation number expected this week. So I was quite worried that starting off on Monday that the JSE would be weaker on cautious trade, but it had rebounded by 560 points on the all-share. Industrials were still down from Friday, but insurance and banking stocks were up more than 0.5%, while mining shares were up 2.5% today. Some of the biggest winners on the top 10 of the top 100 on the JSE, Sibanye-Stillwater, picking themselves up from the weaker trades that we saw last week, up 8.5%. Northam was up more than 7.5%, with the likes of Sasol also in similar territory. Pick and Pay, better on the better side of things. We know they've had quite a rough time on the market, losing a lot of their share value, but today up more than 5%. The MC Group is also up 5%, with HCI up 3.5% on the market. MTN Group on the weaker side of things, they were down 3% today. Bidcorp also down 2.5%. Retailers, Mr. Price, Pepco, the likes of Bidvest also in negative territory today, while Vodacom then joined MTN Group down by more than 0.5%. So it was generally a good day on the market for those companies that traded high, especially in the mining and banking sector. But of course, that rebound day, will it last with all the economic data coming out today? Merrill Pick joins us now for the breakdown on the markets. Looking at this particular rebound day, Merrill, is it anything else that's pushing it except for a rebound?
Yeah, good evening, Mota, and good evening to your listeners. Look, I think markets have been under quite a bit of pressure, particularly the commodity sector. Perhaps was due for a bit of a rebound. I think any slightly positive data out of the US, we saw some positive data out of Germany. I think can spark a bit of a rally. I think in particular we've seen some of the commodity prices edging higher over the last 2 to 3 weeks, gold in particular, Brent crude. And there are various drivers of that. You know, to some extent, that can even seem contradictory. Gold is associated with bearish times and risk off, and oil, oil going up is associated with strong economic demand. So why are these two things moving at the same time? And I think it is because we just have such a multipolar world emerging right now, geopolitical risk rising, different factions, different allegiances, and various commodity markets being driven by different things. For example, in the gold market, you know, the demand this time around really seems to be driven by the Asian countries or the developed market central bank, yeah. Asian consumers, the developing market banks, whereas Western investors are selling gold. So there's this divide emerging more than one place. We look at the oil market, although demand is a bit weak in Europe, in China, etc., the supply is being affected by geopolitics. And so something like Sasol today up 7.5%, probably rightly so, given that Brent crude is at almost $90.
Some analysts were talking about that $100 mark for the oil price, especially with the uneasiness that came with the tensions in the Middle East. Given that Israel has now withdrawn from southern Gaza, do you still see that price going up?
I think it's all about, at the end of the day, it's all about supply. It is a marginal withdrawal, I, from what I understand. I'm not a geopolitics expert, but from what I've read, it's a reasonably token or marginal withdrawal. Could it be the first step, you know, in a complete ceasefire and withdrawal and bringing the parties to the table? That remains to be seen. You know, I think there are other regions or other tensions that are affecting this. You know, the Red Sea, for example, and then to some extent, Russian sanctions actually taking effect. While at the same time, demand has just continued to be a bit stronger than expected, particularly in the US. You know, so that market just remains tight. And the question marks around actually how much spare capacity is there really within OPEC, in particular within Saudi Arabia, that should the demand hold up, is the spare capacity genuinely available to come online?
All right, that Brent price around that $90 mark, stubbornly so since last week. The market's fairly in a good place today. Our market commentary, of course, covered by Merrill Pick, portfolio manager at All Mutual Investment Group. Thank you so much for the chat. It is 8:08. It is 6:30 now. Time for your eyewitness news with Amongez.
Thanks, Motel. Good evening. Marcus Yester's alleged former lover, Bernadine Ordendahl, has escalated her bid to access heaps of money frozen by the Reserve Bank. Ordendahl has applied for leave to appeal before the Supreme Court of Appeal after already losing two court bids. She wants the court to compel the central bank to continue paying her 150,000 rand a month for living expenses from her blocked accounts. Nogukanya Mtambo reports.
The Reserve Bank initially attached four bank accounts belonging to Bernadine Ordendahl back in May 2021. The central bank raised some suspicion about a 60 million rand loan she had received from a horse racing company. The Reserve Bank claimed that there was an exchange control contravention when the funds were wired from abroad from Mayfair Speculators, a company associated with disgraced and now dead Steinhoff CEO Marcus Yester. After the attachment of the bank accounts, Ordendahl was paid a series of monthly installments of 150,000 rand from the blocked accounts. These payments ran from July 2021 to March 2022. The Reserve Bank then ceased the payments when Ordendahl demanded that the central bank also release funds to cover her legal costs, labeling it a repudiation of the agreement. In court papers, Ordendahl says she doesn't believe the Reserve Bank has any leg to stand on in denying her access to her money. Nogukanya Mtambo, Eyewitness News.
To the Eastern Cape now, where provincial police are warning the public to thoroughly vet people they do business with online. This after two brothers were robbed of their valuables and killed after responding to a Facebook Marketplace advert on Saturday. Aaron Singh reports.
Aaron and Carl Alberts were murdered after approaching a home in Motherwell, just outside Gqeberha, on Saturday. The brothers were responding to an advert placed on Facebook Marketplace for a television set they wanted to purchase, but little did they know they were being lured to their deaths. Eastern Cape Police spokesperson Priscilla Naidu.
The brothers went to a house in Cero Street in NU5 in Motherwell and were informed that no such ad was placed and the occupants of the house bore no knowledge of any sale. While still at the address, they were approached by two suspects who shot and robbed them. Their cell phones, cash and vehicle were all taken, with the perpetrators providing a wrong address to mislead them.
Their bakkie was recovered abandoned not far from the scene. The Provincial Serious and Violent Crimes Investigation Unit in Gqeberha is investigating two cases of murder. Aaron Singh, Eyewitness News.
The City of Cape Town is urging residents and organizations wanting to assist those affected by extreme weather conditions to come forward. The city says it has been inundated with calls from Capetonians offering to help where they can. Melikaya Zakagana takes a look.
The Metro is advising individuals wishing to donate to approach humanitarian organizations like the Gift of the Givers to drop off their donations. Alternatively, donations can also be dropped off at the city's disaster management office in Goodwood, behind the fire station. The municipality requests that non-perishable foodstuff, blankets and toiletries be taken to its office. It says companies wishing to donate building material can get in touch with Disaster Risk Management on disaster.donations@capetown.gov.za. Melikaya Zakagana, Eyewitness News.
And Sam Altman, the CEO of ChatGPT's creator OpenAI, has become a billionaire according to Forbes. Altman, who became the face of the global AI frenzy when his company released ChatGPT in 2022, cracked the magazine's list of billionaires in the 2,692nd position. The financial news outlet said that Altman's wealth came mainly from his investments in startups such as Reddit, which has recently floated on the New York Stock Exchange. Exchange and payments company Stripe, which is currently estimated to be worth $65 billion. The 38-year-old has also invested in more recent ventures, such as a nuclear energy company Helion and longevity startup Retro Biosciences. Altman has insisted that he does not own equity in OpenAI, a company that has made him almost a household name and is estimated to be worth $80 billion. Last week, Taylor Swift was also officially named a member of the Forbes billionaires list with an estimated $1.1 billion fortune. Another cloudy day in store for Gauteng tomorrow, with scattered showers and thundershowers expected. Temperatures will drop to overnight lows of 13 and 15 degrees, while peaking at highs of 20 and 22 degrees. Cape Town's also cloudy, becoming fine in the evening with southeasterly winds at a high of 20 degrees. The top story in Eyewitness News this hour: Marcus Yester's alleged former lover, Bernadine Ordendahl, has escalated her bid to access heaps of money frozen by the Reserve Bank.
Baby Frick's story has a world of opportunity ahead of it. His first day of school, his first kiss, flunking architecture, starting a business, new suppliers, lots of new buyers, marrying Mariki, a puppy, Choppy, a baby, Stephanus, and every in between. Just like Frick's story, we believe there is something special about yours, and we invite you to write it with us. Your story matters. ABSA. Authorized FSP and registered credit provider.
I wear a few different hats as a CFO. You know, sometimes it's referred to as chief fixing officer. Wherever there's a fire in the business, I'm often there first, and I think that's the bit I really enjoy and love. But it kind of spreads much more widely than finance.
Whatever hats CFOs need to wear, Sage Tools and Insights can make sure they fit. Sage, helping business flow.
Andre Pollard, this is true! Oh my, what a kick!
Hi, this is Andre Pollard. You've been there, right? The stakes are high. It's those clutch moments that define us. And let me tell you, whether it's on the field or in business, you need a team that's got your back. That team for me is Pollen Finance. When the pressure's on, they deliver. Pollen Finance. Business finance, fast.